Okay, I'll pray out. Guru. Well, the cult mentality, that negative part of ISKCON in the old days, at least, where it started behaving like a cult. And why does that happen all the time, it seems, when there's a group gathered around something spiritual? Well, I think it is because of this, or one at least partially, that when beginners, many beginners, join a group like that, neophytes, they are confronted with, such as I was, a whole new cultural context, or whatever you say. And there is, for instance, the spiritual master, the guru, who is God on earth, basically, a God's representative, and who gives the absolute truth, who is a perfect person. You know, this is what I learned when I joined, and what I guess is, well, I don't know if that is still the norm, but there was Prabhupada, who I never met as such, but through his books and his disciples, and it feels that we had him around. But then I also saw, when there were discussions among his disciples, that some of them idealized him too much. There were discussions if he was actually God, who had descended as an avatar, or Sakchavesh avatar, or, you know, these fine words and philosophical concepts that we had then learned. And then others, of course, they came and they found faults with him, saying, look, he cannot be that because he did this and he said that. Anyway, of course, a Prabhupada worship developed after he left, and maybe during his time here. A guru worship, which I reacted to a little bit back then, because some they were just singing Prabhupada, 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 and over again, and kirtans, and it was a little bit, I have to confess, as if some of his disciples, they were like competing between each other who can show the most devotion to Prabhupada. Then you are good, you know. And there was this upwards mobility of being big and famous and influential and so on. I could see among those disciples of Prabhupada, and among us, the second generation. But, you know, Prabhupada didn't constantly chant and name and worship his guru. He was worshipping Krishna. And of course, emphasizing that the guru is the one who connects you to and teaches you about Krishna. So he is very important. But it almost for us, the disciples of Prabhupada, we could go like that too, you know, that my guru is, yes, perfect person, you know, and you shouldn't come here and say anything else. And I mean, really, worshipping them, treating them as they were God, you know, divine, and with very, you know, elaborate and public manifestations of such worship, which of course other people, outsiders as we call them, you know, people who come and visit, you know, thought looked strange. And I would say that what happened then was that you were just a young man, and in your 30s, early 30s often, who had just from hippie street or whatever stepped into that temple there. A few years earlier, at most, like 10 years earlier, but foremost of them, less, 5 years sometimes. And here they were, super duper gurus. And we were careful not to show any little tiny doubt or discrepancy at treating them. As that, as divine personalities. Now, I've been speaking here before about how there was a misunderstanding there, thinking that you had to be a perfect person, Uttama Vikari, in order to be a guru. So they were treated and worshipped as if being that, which then we realize more and more, some of us the hard way, that was not always the case, of course. Again, because most of us were much the same when we joined there a few years earlier. Or them. So, to find yourself in such a position of being worshipped as a master, a great master, at that time, in that situation, how do you handle that? especially if you find that actually you are not a master. You're still a student, but your master left. Well, then you need to pretend, playing along in the game. But what happens then is, and I would say this is very often, if not always, the reason where things start to fall apart and can't be upheld, where what people think and then act on does not correspond to reality. Like, for instance, now we have this huge, fantastic, great empire there in the West, across the water there on the other side. And they really think, seriously, that they are the greatest and they should now are the natural rulers of all of us others. But now it doesn't work anymore. And it's interesting to see how they react when they start to lose the grip, and it just becomes more and more apparent that no, they are not the most powerful and the best and the smartest and the greatest. There are others who are doing much better. You know, the emperor's new clothes and all that. It gets a bit embarrassing. But the problem is that when the emperor stands there without clothes, maybe he has weapons and he can punish those who laugh at him. Which then seems to be also one of those desperate ways that some handle that situation, because it's hard to take such embarrassment.